Oh, sorry, Jesus. Sorry, we thought your death on the cross would do more than it actually did. Forgive me, Lord, for overestimating your ability to save. I thought the cross was better than it turned out to be. I repent in sackcloth and ashes, Lord. I thought that the blood of the cross was stronger than the sin of Adam. I blew it. I overestimated your ability to turn the heart of man. I actually thought your will was more powerful than the human will. I knew you willed all mankind to be saved, so you'll just have to forgive me for thinking that you would actually effect that will. Forgive me for thinking too much of you. Oh no, my friends, but these apologies will not be enough. It won't be enough to say, God, I'm sorry, I overestimated your ability. Because according to Kevin, not believing in an eternity of torment, if that doctrine is indeed true, not believing in it will result in the very thing for me and my poor followers, an eternity of torment. From Kevin's email, quote, my traditional way of thinking covers me. If I am wrong but you are right, I will still be saved. But if I am right and you are wrong, then your followers are in trouble. We're in trouble? For having to tell God I'm sorry? I thought the cross would have done more? I thought the suffering of your son would have effected more than it did? We're going to be in trouble for overestimating the love of God, for thinking that the love of God is greater than the love of man, that the will of God is stronger than the will of man. I'm going to be in trouble for that. And who are my followers? I don't have followers. I have people that listen to me telling them what the scriptures have to say concerning the sacrifice of Christ for the sake of mankind and the glory of God. These are my, quote, followers. And if I'm going to get in trouble for overestimating the worth of Calvary, then so be it. Let me get in trouble for that. But I'm not going to get in trouble for it, because the most I can conceive of God, the highest my frail human heart can reach, is short of what God is actually going to do. Kevin, if I can even imagine it, God's going to outdo it. If I think that God is going to save all humanity, God's going to do more than just save all humanity. Scripture is plain in Romans chapter 5 that the condemnation is not equal to the gift of grace. The sin of Adam is not equal to the sacrifice of Christ, because the sacrifice of Christ exceeds it. He has to at least bring the entire race that Adam brought down out. He has to at least do that. But no, he's going to exceed it. Your traditional way of thinking covers you? In what world would it cover you? Oh, sorry, God. I just thought you were going to murder most of the human race. That's not too bad, is it? I believe you are God of vengeance, who only loved those who loved him back. That covers me, doesn't it? All my life, God, I considered your son's work on the cross to be a failure. I'm counting on the fact that that's no big deal, right? I went through my life believing that the cross never saved anybody. I trust that covers me. Kevin, you don't believe the cross saved anybody, because it's still up to man to believe. And if he doesn't, the cross by itself is ineffectual. Listen to me. The cross by itself did not work, according to your, quote, traditional way of thinking, unquote. The cross did not work. It requires man's cooperation. And without man's cooperation, it's ineffectual. And in fact, it's man's cooperation that makes it work. So the cross is null and void. It's the human participation that makes it happen. That covers you. Here is the best case scenario for you, my friend. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is being granted to me as a wise foreman, I lay a foundation, Paul speaking here, yet another is building on it. Yet let each one beware how he is building on it. For another foundation can no one lay beside that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone is building on this foundation gold, and silver, precious stones, wood, grass, straw, each one's work will become apparent, for the day will make it evident. For it is being revealed by fire, and the fire it will be testing each one's work what kind it is. If anyone's work will be remaining, which he builds on it, he will get wages. If anyone's work shall be burned up, he will forfeit it, yet he shall be saved, yet thus as through fire. Kevin, the best you can hope for with the doctrines you're holding, your traditional way of thinking, is to be saved as through fire. Your doctrine of eternal torment is wood. Your doctrine of human free will, that the will of the human is stronger than the will of God, that's straw. Your doctrine that the work of Christ on the cross was ineffective, inefficient, less than the sin of Adam, that's grass. And it's going to be burned up. That's the best case scenario for you. Here's the worst case scenario. You're not even a believer. One of the foundations of belief is found in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says this in verse 3. For I give over to you among the first what I also accepted, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. According to you, though, Kevin, your sins remain. The sins of humanity remain. Jesus didn't die for every sin. He sure didn't die for the sin of unbelief, did he? No, because it's unbelief that's going to send a man to hell. You do not believe Christ died for sins. John 1:29 says Jesus Christ took away the sin of the world, yet you say he didn't. You're denying one of the very foundations of the gospel. That makes me wonder if you're even a believer. What are you believing in? You're believing in man's ability to save himself by believing. You're believing in your belief. You're not believing in the faith of Jesus Christ, in the work of the cross. And so that makes me wonder if you're even a believer to start with. That's the worst case scenario for you. Kevin, wake up. Repent before it's too late. Repent just means to change your mind. Change your mind, Kevin. If you don't, you're going to miss out on aeonian life. You're saved for eternity because God is the Savior of all mankind. But I want you to be able to enjoy these coming eons. If you don't repent and start believing in Jesus instead of your belief in Jesus, then you will miss the coming two eons. This is not inconsistent with what I said last week. If a person is not given belief by God in this life, this is not the only era of salvation. As I told you, God intends to save all at the consummation. That's 1 Corinthians 15:26, when he abolishes death. But until that time, unbelievers do miss out on some things, some very important and glorious things. Unbelievers are dead during the thousand-year kingdom. Revelation 20, verse 5, the dead do not live until the 1,000 years are finished. Then, after standing at the great white throne before God, they're dead again during the eon of the new heavens and the new earth. But the consummation, remember, occurs only after these two glorious eons have run their course. Every human being ever born will enjoy eternal life with God. But the issue this week is aeonian life. Last week I was telling you about eternal life. Everybody's going to spend eternity with God, but not everybody is going to enjoy these upcoming eons. This is going to help you to understand a critical verse of Scripture, 1 Timothy 4:10. God is the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers. How can that be? How can he be the Savior of all, but especially of believers? Because believers get in on more than unbelievers do. Believers get in on aeonian life. They live during the upcoming eons. And you found out last week those eons are the kingdom eon and the new heavens and the new earth. It is still true that only God can give belief. Romans 12:3, belief is a gift of God. He gives it. I'm not changing my mind on that by now imploring you to believe, Kevin. But human beings are the agents that it pleases God to use. I don't know who he has chosen beforehand for belief. God has already decided. It's not up to me, and it doesn't depend on what I do. But whoever God decides beforehand should believe, he sends someone to acquaint them with the facts. Romans 10:14-15. How should they be believing one of whom they don't hear? Yet how should they be hearing apart from one heralding? I'm a herald. I don't cause you to believe. God just uses me as a catalyst to affect his will, and that's what I'm doing here. I'm imploring you. Kevin, to believe now. Because if you're meant to believe, God will cause my heralding to find a response in you, and you will believe. Kevin, I pray for you. Folks, believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you. I'm Martin Zenner.